That's what you gotta.
Oh man, Quentin Tarantino, 10 movies, and then he's ready to quit it. So that's something else. Like, I guess he just doesn't like, he wants to quit on top. Maybe doesn't want to look bad. I don't know. He did make the quote that around this time in the career, that's when the directors kind of just fall off, more or less. So he's trying to get out of the game before that. A lot of people think Shaq should have retired early. You know, that kind of scenario. So why is it that Mark in Invincible, he runs into all these battles head on when he clearly should have a team?
Because he sees his dad being like the ultimate like superhero. I mean, it's kind of like a Superboy thing versus Superman thing, you know, like.
Yeah, but on the same token, you know, like, Superman can fly, Superboy can jump really high. Like, you're not him.
Yeah. So, like, Invincible, like, man, Mark is getting murked every episode.
I mean, I guess he's really invincible because he hasn't died yet.
Look.
And he should have. Look,
I think it was episode 5. I thought that Tiger Man was about to, like.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Lion Man. Like,
yeah, he lit the whole team up.
He really did. And the thing is, like, everybody's like, oh, man, we're halfway through Invincible. We are not.
Oh, yeah.
We are not. Man. Like, after doing some research, we are only, like, in the beginning storyline.
We might be a ninth of the way through.
The first, like, it's like the first 13 chapters of the first compendium out of 344 chapters.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh man. I mean, yeah, it's been renewed for season 2 and 3. Season 2 and 3 might get through the first compendium.
Might. Yeah, I'm seeing after like season 3 or 4. We're finishing up the first
compendium, yeah.
And then, like, yeah, then you're going into the next one. And then you're looking like, at that rate, it's like 12 seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're on some Walking Dead stuff, hence, you know, the same.
The workers can handle it, right? Yeah. They've been tested.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Roscoe, and my co-host, Chris. Welcome to Leave Your Powers at the Door. Cue the band. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Leave Your Powers at the Door. I'm your host, Roscoe, and Chris said in the correct order that time. So, Chris, what's your power for the day?
My power for today?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Mr. Fantastic.
Is this another wrangling up the kid? Story. Kids. story.
So, Mr. Fantastic, while he's most known for his quote-unquote stretchy powers in the Fantastic Four, I know him for his ingenuity and building things, and right now I'm going through renovating my home. Just got a fence outside. We're redoing the kitchen, the countertops, the backsplash, the floor, and we just did the bathroom, so we'll probably keep moving through the house, just like redoing stuff, and we're doing a lot of it ourselves, which means I gotta figure it out. So yeah. A lot of heavy thinking there. If you've ever put a floor together or a backsplash with like the marble tile, it is the ultimate puzzle. It's like, cause you gotta fit around other stuff and make sure the pattern stays looking correct, and yeah, it's a lot of work. Roscoe, what's your power for today?
Yeah, Chris, today my power is Unicron.
Unicron?
Yeah, Unicron.
Alright, tell us about it.
Devouring everything in sight. I got really hungry yesterday. The other day, I was like, hibachi. Got some hibachi chicken, hibachi steak, side of sushi for $3.99. You got sushi rolls, all that stuff.
And Unicron is basically a Transformers version of Galactus, right?
Yeah, yeah, basically. The planet.
So you had a planet for, like Earth was a salad.
Yeah, yeah. And
Mars was dessert.
Yeah.
Mars bars.
But no, after that hibachi, I kept eating. I went to work and got, like, a bacon cheddar burger. I kept eating. I went to pizza. I went to Papa John's. I just destroyed a large pizza.
All in a Roscoe. But after seeing the early shots from Thor Ragnarok, I'm getting on a diet, Anna.
Chris Hemsworth is quite swole.
Yeah. He's like catching up to the juggernaut at this point. Like, ridiculous level.
But Unicron is my power for today.
Awesome.
Speaking of Unicron, Galactus, other seemingly unstoppable beings. Yep. Let's go into that today.
Okay. And so looking at it, what are some of your favorite, we'll call them super duper villains?
Those super duper villains, super duper heroes.
They take a team to take them down. Yeah, and heroes.
Yeah.
There's a few heroes that, like, one-on-one, the villains just don't
matter. Oh, I mean, easy, Thanos. I mean, duh. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, they're going to talk about Thanos.
Thanos is definitely my favorite hero. I meant villain.
Anti-hero. Villain. I mean, perspective. So political anti-hero. Political party. FBI, open up.
Thanos, definitely.
I mean, yeah, Thanos is a shout-out. Dr. Doom. I know you love you some Dr. Doom.
Yeah. Dr. Doom, definitely. Because, like, his first face-off is the Fantastic Four. So he's taking 4-on-1 the first fight he does. And then, like, after that, it's like every time they're after Doom, it's either some crazy powerful hero or, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. coming after him. Like, there's a whole group of government coming after him. Like, nobody wants it with Doom. Mm. And I get, like, nobody would want it with Galactus. Like, I'm ready to see Disney do something with that.
Yeah.
Like, not that, that Fox cloud that just kind of came in. And
it was a cloud.
Have you seen the Rise of the Silver Surfer?
It's Fantastic been movie? A hot minute.
Yeah, so, like, it's, it makes sense because he would be so big that it would be hard to distinguish what he's actually made of. You got to realize he's big enough that the Earth is like a jawbreaker to him. You know what I mean? Like, it fits in his hand. Like
Ed and Eddie. Anyway.
Like, in the Fox universe, they did it where, like, he basically like a giant cosmic storm. Like, you couldn't tell what he really was. But I want to see, like, classic Galactus. I want to see the helmet, the suit, the powers. I want to see all of that.
The X-Men, the Avengers working together to bring him down.
The X-Men, the Fantastic Four, the Avengers, the Defenders. Like, I want to see all of Earth's heroes.
Look. I don't need to see the Defenders there. Like, the Galactus would be like, oh, you're Luke Cage? Yeah, I'm Luke Cage. Flick. Bye, Luke Cage.
I mean, like, even if he would flick Luke Cage like that, like, he would do the same thing to the Hulk, to Thor. Like, yeah, it's that same thing. So, like, yeah. He needs many bodies, all able bodies on deck. I want to see a lot of heroes fall. You know, like this needs to be an event. Like, Galactus has to, like,
bigger than Endgame?
Yeah, bigger than Endgame. We need an Avengers-level threat. It needs to be like Thanos snapped half the heroes, but then they came back. I need to see half the heroes go up against Galactus, and they're not coming back. I want to see Galactus do some of the things that they rumored Thanos was going to do, but they cut those scenes from the movie. Because a lot of people don't know that in Endgame, the original script had it written. You know, when Thanos comes to the future, the time portal Nebula lets him to the future, they said he was going to come through with his time period's heroes dead at his feet. Like Captain America's head in his hand.
Was that the end of... I think it was the end of, I think it was Age of Ultron. Wanda
gave
Iron Man that vision, and saw
they were supposed to deliver on that vision. Yep, exactly that. They were going to deliver on that vision. He was going to come through the time portal into the future and have already killed them in his time, and now he's here to kill them in the future.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that happened in that vision, like, we saw the broken Captain America shield. Like, that happened.
Yeah. Hey, now, if you pay attention to that vision, because I watch these movies like a diehard fan. That vision has what a lot of people believe is Kate Bishop, you know, Hawkeye's protege, on that asteroid with them. She's almost dressed what you would think a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent might be dressed like. Mm. And I think she's the one that Hawkeye is, like, over there sitting over. Like, he's sitting down. Because Hawkeye's not laying down in that scene. He's sitting over someone. And they say that that's supposed to be Kate Bishop. As well as there's a few other Easter eggs in that scene of future Avengers that never showed up later. Because I guess the timeline would have been changed because they did different things. But, like, yeah, I could see that. Like, I don't know why they didn't do that. I would like to see that scene where they go back to the Battle of New York. And they're like, you know what? Forget the Infinity Stones. Let's save this timeline as well as our own. Let's go through the portal and go face Thanos head on. And, like, you could imagine who went to the New York battle. You got Hulk, Iron Man, Captain America, and Ant-Man. And maybe the Ancient One. And, like, they go to the portal and face off against Thanos on his asteroid. Or, I guess that's where he was at that time. He wasn't on his ship during that battle. And, yeah, clearly it would have turned out badly for him.
You know what? I feel like, what was his name? The psychic that took Doctor Strange. One of Thanos' children.
Oh,
Ebony Maw? No, that was the big dude.
Nope, let's call it Sidian. Ebony Maw.
Ebony Maw? Alright. I feel like Ebony Maw could have, like, just wiped out the entire Avengers if he wanted to. Because Doctor Strange was just getting his power straight at that point in time. He'd just become the Sorcerer Supreme. And he took Doctor Strange out. Wanda was not ready. Wanda was not ready for him. Yeah. Ebony Maw could have taken out the entire Avengers.
I would have liked to see Ebony Maw, like, have a real battle against Spider-Man and Iron Man. Because they tricked him.
Yeah, they jumped him.
I wouldn't say outsmarted him. They just tricked him. Like, it was like, that, like, he's clearly smarter than them. Like, he has that knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, Spider was like, okay, we're going to blast a hole into this ship and let him fly out there. We're not fighting this guy.
I feel like if that didn't happen, Ebony Maw would have killed him. Killed them both. And Doctor Strange. It would have been a wrap.
I see Iron Man as being more resilient, though. Like, Iron Man is so adaptable. And Doctor Strange, I'm just going to say, I really feel like he has the Superman syndrome. Because if you watch Doctor Strange fight Ebony Maw, and then you watch Doctor Strange fight Thanos, it's a different fight. And in both fights, you can tell he's holding back. Like, even against Thanos, do you see Doctor Strange break a sweat? You don't. Like, it's like he's just playing a part because he knows the future at that point. So he's like kind of like, yeah, this needs to happen. All right, go ahead. Knock me out, Thanos. Here you go. Free shot. Like, because he knows it's going to happen. But, like, I feel like he holds back a lot. When you watch his fights, he holds back a lot. All right. But,
Cool.
So, all you got Thanos. Yeah, he definitely takes a crowd.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Who else you see on that level?
Madara Uchiha.
Madara. Tell us about his power set.
Oh, he doesn't need a power set. This dude was reanimated. The only person that was able to take him down when he was alive was the first Hokage.
Take your time.
Hashirama Senju. He was the originator of, like, the wood style in Naruto. He was, like, a bunch of jutsus and stuff. Like, the Shadow Clone Jutsu came from him and his brother, Tobirama. Tobi Rama was the one that commanded the Uchiha genocide. That's why Itachi had to do it to his family. But Itachi's only condition was like, leave Sasuke alive. And they're like, okay, we'll grant that, but everybody else need to go. But Madara Uchiha, when he was reanimated by Tobi, who is known as
Tobi.
He's not known as Tobi.
Not Tobi Maguire. But Tobi, he was you're talking about the Tobi, because I remember
Tobi used
to be... They were fighting against him, and every attack was just missing him. Like, they could not hit him to save their life. And he's just, like, goofing around. And he was the one that gave Itachi his eye, right?
Yeah. So, it was like a total Voldemort thing. It was Obito Uchiha. He was Kakashi's partner. Kakashi, Obito, and Ren were Naruto's dad's protege.
Yeah, that was a sad.
The Yellow Flash.
Story. Yeah.
Yeah. And but Madara Uchiha, when he was resurrected by Obito with the help of Orochimaru, a little bit of help of Orochimaru, but Orochimaru was like, this is getting out of hand, never mind. But he continued with the plan, but he found old Madara in like a tree or whatever. And brought him back to his full glory. He fought through 5 nations of armies by himself. He brought down a meteor, and they were like, oh, we can hold one meteor, we got it. Like, everybody's using their jutsus and like their ninja art styles to be like, all right, we got the first meteor held back, what do we do now? And Madara's just like, cool. Here's a second meteor. He fought the leaders of the ninja nations by himself. The Raikage, the Mizukage, the Hokage was Tsunade at that point. Not Kakashi or Naruto at that point. But at that point in time, it was Tsunade in charge. He fought all of them by himself. And he walked away. These are supposed to be the most powerful ninjas leading the nations, and he beat them in 3 panels of a comic book.
Man.
Yeah. It wasn't a fight.
I don't think I've actually seen Tobi get damaged yet.
No. I mean, okay. You see Tobi, Obito. He first appears. You first find out about him when you find out the origins of how the Nine-Tailed Fox ended up being in Naruto. And how his mom and dad died. You see him get hurt by the 4th Hokage. Because he figured out the whole like phase through jutsu. It was all about the Sharingan at that point. Which Kakashi also has. That's why he's the copycat ninja.
Yep.
That's a passive ability with the Sharingan. But yes, he did get that power from Obito at that point.
Yeah, before he was resurrected.
No, Obito's lived. Madara just, like, saved him as an old man.
Ah, oh, got it.
Because Madara never died from Hashirama. He just, like, found some... Look, anime plot armor. That's what happened. anime magic. The power of friendship, you know.
The power of friendship.
So, you know, Madara kept Obito alive, but you see him get hurt a lot, and the only person that was able to step to Madara Uchiha was Gai Sensei, Rock Lee's mentor, Kakashi's best friend. You're just like, yeah, Rock Lee unlocked the gates. He did not. Guy Sensei was the...
Oh, yeah. And if you pay attention to cartoons, Guy Sensei kind of guides Rock Lee, but he limits him a lot.
Yeah.
But he doesn't give him all the tools, but you know that Guy has the tools. Like,
yeah. Like, everybody's like, oh, man, Kakashi is so much better than Guy Sensei. No. Guy Sensei would rock Kakashi. No questions asked. That's our quick drop for today. I'm your host, Orozco. Don't give a damn. But now he's in a wheelchair permanently for, like, unlocking the gates, Guy Sensei. But, I mean, but really, all Guy Sensei did was just hold Madara back for a little while. He did the most damage to him. But it took the power of Naruto, Sasuke, and Kakashi, and turning super evil Obito into a good guy for, like, 20 minutes to defeat Madara. Like, hey, Obito, you're kind of a puppet. Like, damn, you're right. Nah, screw this, guys. That's what it took. That's what it took.
Hey, you could be the boss.
Yeah. Like, it was a three-stage boss fight. It was Obito, it was Madara, and then it was the chick that controlled all of Chakra in the Naruto universe. It was a three-step boss fight. But... Mm. As far as other powerful villains go, Magneto.
Yes. Now, in the movies, I feel like they draw him back a lot.
Oh, they nerfed him. They nerfed him.
They super nerfed him. But, like, in the comic books, the cartoons, the video games, it always takes all of the X-Men. And it's always a battle. Like, and they lose sometimes. Like, I'm talking like 5 to 10 X-Men. And he's wiping the floor with them, no question. Don't send the army out. That's not even like, that's just ammunition for him. Like Magneto is the man when it comes to a lot of stuff. Which begs the question, if Magneto and Galactus, is Galactus' suit made out of metal? Because that might...
I feel like that's some cosmic armor stuff that...
That doesn't work on the laws of electromagnetism?
Yeah.
No.
I mean...
I already see that in a Disney movie, like the Marvel Disney movies.
Oh, the Disney Magic anime plot armor?
Galactus is like destroying everybody about to eat the planet, and Magneto just shows over. Oh, nope. Turn you into a trash can. It's over.
It's over.
Shouldn't have made your suit out of metal, dog. Like, you had it, but then you made your suit out of metal. And I was here.
So Galactus, let's see. Yo, Luffy from One Piece. This guy, I mean, the whole gum gum fruit thing, like, once you eat the gum gum fruit, that's kind of like the base power in One Piece. And, you know, if you're smart enough, you'll figure out how to use your powers. You know? Luffy's ability isn't stretchability, like Mr. Fantastic type stuff. He's using momentum. It's more like, imagine the Flash and Mr. Fantastic having a baby. He's using, like, physics to increase his powers. Like, because being able to stretch is a weak power. But he figures it out eventually.
I mean, argumentatively. I always thought being able to stretch was one of the more powerful powers. It's very hard to do cinematically, like in a live-action movie. But, like, I've always, I took physics classes very seriously. And the idea is that you have certain animals that try to be unbreakable, like they have hardened shells and they're supposed to be invincible, but nothing's invincible. There's always something harder. There's always enough pressure. So you can break almost anything. Like even diamonds break if you take another diamond and apply enough pressure. You know what I mean? And they're one of the hardest metals on earth. So being unbreakable or invincible, as Mark has shown us, does not always work out to your favor. But being flexible, which is how the human is made. Like, our skin is flexible. Like, your skin gives. It heals very easily when it's torn. Just being able to give and to regenerate is a lot more beneficial than being invincible. So when you stretch, you get shot by a bullet. If your skin keeps stretching until that bullet loses momentum, it'll never break your skin.
Yeah.
So you can take crazy hits. And long as you can use your powers right, you basically can take any amount of pressure. All you have to do is stretch until the pressure gives. So, like, I always thought, like, these stretchy people, they don't use their powers very well.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
Luffy has figured it out, though.
Oh, yeah.
This man has, like, fought through, like, whole battalions of Navy officers. He's fought things, like, that is... I mean, there's a reason One Piece is still going on. You know what I mean? So we can throw Luffy up there.
Who else you got? This
Shishomaru from Inuyasha.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, he was... I mean, he was a full demon. And in, back then, like, he was the son, like, Inuyasha and...
So are we talking about Shishomaru with the crystal shards, or...
No. He didn't even need the crystal shards. Honestly. Like, I mean, they were the... Inuyasha and Shishomaru were the sons of the most powerful demon in that anime. Like the demon god. But Inuyasha just happened to be half human, so it gave him a little handicap. But Shishomaru... was full. He was the son of the two most powerful demons in that era, and so like he would just go toe to toe. Like the only issue he had was like him caring about his like minions, like the little girl, the little imp, the horse he had. They humanized him a little bit, yeah. And so it gave him the handicap, but. Inuyasha was, you know, actually part human. So, with a crap ton of powerful sidekicks.
I was gonna say, yeah.
Winter.
Yeah. Oh my god!
Yo, like, this man.
Dude had a black hole in the middle of his hand.
Right! also, the ultimate ninja in his party. But she cares about her little brother, who was taken over by, you know, the main villain of Inuyasha. You know, like, so she was nerfed hard. His ex-girlfriend's reincarnation. Inuyasha had too much going on.
Not to mention, he had that sword that basically just, it cut through anything. It was no stopping that sword. Especially once he had the training with it and all.
The training with it, the counter... The full counter, I mean, for all you Seven Deadly Sins fans out there, Meliodas, he pretty much, the backlash wave, if you threw anything at him, he could just throw it right back at you if he timed it right. It was like parry central. Video game, learn how to parry. He did that.
Yeah, that's why people hate me in video games. That's my go-to.
Parry, counterattack. Yeah, no.
Man, God of War Ascension, the MMO. Yeah. That's what it was. Like, run into a crowd where they...
And just parry.
Boom,
power. What was your favorite power in God of War Ascension?
I want to say I used to love Zeus a lot.
Between
Zeus and Poseidon.
The Poseidon powers, yes!
Poseidon has so many powers that you could hit them on the top of the head, which is hard to block, and it would bounce their body, and then you could just get a combo just going like that. Like, I love chain combos. Like,
I think the Poseidon people in that game were the utility people.
And they would do a lot of, area damage,
AOE,
and armor for your
teammates,
allies and stuff.
Yeah. Hades and Ares
was a lot of lifesteal. Ares was a lot of
debuffs
and
Ares was damage over time.
Didn't they have Athena as part of it too?
No,
she had a sword in it.
Yeah,
she wasn't one of the main god.
Yeah, the main power sources.
She wasn't one of the main god, but she had a sword, and with Athena's sword. Like, certain attacks with steel health.
Yo, Kratos is a powerhouse.
But,
like, as far as unstoppable... If we're talking about unstoppable beings...
Yeah, he took on a pantheon of Olympus. and the Titans.
At the same time. He lifted the Nine Realms by himself.
Yeah.
Like, what? Kratos, yeah. That being said, y'all ready for this, unpredicted powerhouse? I just thought of it just now.
Who you got?
Ben 10.
Oh. Yes, sir.
If you
wait. Ben 10,000.
No, it didn't matter. Okay. Let me backtrack. The Omnitrix. If he scanned an alien that was kicking his butt and he managed to scan it, it gave him the most powerful version of that alien to transform into. He could scan Goku
and be the most powerful super.
He would turn into Broly.
That's ridiculous.
He would turn into Super Saiyan God Broly.
The reason why I say Ben 10,000 is because when you watch the Ben 10 cartoons, he didn't have the maturity and knowledge that he has.
Oh, no.
So Ben 10, he's just random aliens. Oh, this might work. This might work. But Ben 10,000
had the knowledge.
Okay, you're this. This conquers you.
I know.
I'm going to be this. And I'm going to.
He knew. He's a Pokemon master at that point.
Yeah. He caught them all.
All right. So who else you got? We've covered a lot of the greats.
Yeah, we have Galactus, Doom, Magneto, Thanos. But
hold on, y'all. Hold on. Sorry, the Avatar: The Last Airbender just activated in here. Our producer activated the Avatar mode.
Oh, mine I want to say is Darkseid.
The Darkseid.
He's technically a Superman villain, but Superman has never been able to take him on his own. He comes with an army. He comes with Steppenwolf. He comes with mother boxes. Like, that is a Justice League threat. Like, Darkseid brings the thunder.
It took so many of them to be able to fight Darkseid.
And if you watch Justice League War, Dark, it's like Apocalypse War or something like that. Yo, Darkseid. He takes over the Justice League. Like, he has Batman brainwashed in a chair. So Batman's his new strategist. I think he has Superman as his new powerhouse. Like it is ridiculous. Like, and then you have people like Constantine and Zatanna. And in Justice League Dark, he has Zatanna and Constantine being the main characters fighting against him. Mm. And they're trying to free the rest of the Justice League. So it's more like into the mystic side of the Justice League, but it's a war against Darkseid. And it gets deep and heavy. Like, Darkseid destroyed the Justice League. And basically anybody that's useful on the Justice League, not Green Lantern, but anybody that's useless.
No.
Useful guy.
Green Lantern is hella useful. Yeah. If you need an umbrella on a rainy day, Green Lantern has it.
So, like, he's like Darkseid, stand beside.
Yeah.
In case it rains, you make an umbrella for me with your ring.
Yes, Darkseid. Oh, man.
Oh, boy. But yeah, that movie is an example of where DC shines. Animated movies. And it's really cool. Batman is a monster.
You know what? Speaking of Batman.
So, wait a minute, Roscoe. We got to take a break and talk about the Timekeepers. Are they good? Are they bad? What's going on with this Loki show? I just got a feeling the audience and let them know what's really going on, what I think is going on, a couple theories I have, and we'll see where the show is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, starting out, we find out that the TVA has been kidnapping the agents from their timeline, where they were actual people with full lives, and then turn them into agents. So, that's number one, kidnapping. That hits the list of bad guys. And then they apparently erase their memory. So, like, that's an ethical issue there. I definitely would put up for question. And then they use them for their own means. And then you get to the end and you find out that the actual timekeepers, the three statues, are like these big puppet figures. They're like kind of like the Wizard of Oz thing. And it really raises the question, who's really in charge? So they've been doing a lot of evil things. Originally in the comic books, the timekeepers or the TVA aren't necessarily good or bad. They kind of do just protect the sacred timeline. And it's mostly a good path. But then you have the Time Twisters, or you have Kang, who are actually villains trying to find a evil path or their own agenda for the timeline and the path. So it's kind of looking like it might be Kang running things behind the scene. And I really can't wait. I think this series is 6 episodes, so everything's going to wind down in the next couple of weeks. You're going to know what's going on. I think it's really going to open up into Quantumania. Mm-hmm. It's gonna let us know what's going on with all the different timelines.
So is it
and
like I'm a
definitely sure it's gonna break that timeline and bring out that multiversal war that they talked about happened before. I think that's what's coming back. You're gonna see it probably in the Spider-Man No Way Home, the Multiverse of Madness, and maybe even a little bit of it in the What If series that Marvel's working on, where they have like the cartoon series. They've already released some trailers. It shows Winter Soldier Bucky with the Winter Soldier arm, the metal arm, not the Wakanda arm, and he's fighting against the zombie Avengers.
Hmm.
Which in the comic books, if you know about that one, that was crazy. There's a whole line where the zombie Avengers, they took over their universe. Mm-hmm. So like a few of the Avengers caught the zombie virus. Then of course, like, you know, who's gonna stop a Captain America zombie?
I mean,
and so like it spreads and they take over their whole planet. Galactus comes to the planet trying to consume the planet. They take over Galactus. He becomes a zombie. And then they find a way out of their universe and into other universes and start trying to infect their universes. So that's something that could be really cool to see some of that. I don't know if Disney is going to let their heroes, who's been in such a good light, get pushed in a bad light. It'd be a good story to watch. Definitely be entertaining. See Iron Man come back. You know, I'm a big advocate for Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man to come back in some shape or form. There's a lot of rumors that the Multiverse of Madness are going to have a different version of Iron Man. Some casting rumors. I don't think they really verified it yet, but Tom Cruise is going to be playing a different version of Tony Stark.
Yeah.
I think that'd be interesting. I think he did try out for the role originally, but they said when Robert Downey Jr. went in there, he killed it. Like, he went in to the audition and, like, I'm Iron Man. And they was like, okay, you got it. Like, it was an easy win for him on that one. But, getting back to the TVA and what's going on with them.
So is it like a...
Definitely a lot of pay no attention to the man behind the curtain going on there. Wizard of Oz reference. But there's a lot of lies and layers of lies and secrecy. The only thing I do know for sure is that Renslayer, she knows a lot more than she's letting on. She wasn't even surprised when they said C20... I think it's C20. When C20 was saying, oh, I had a whole life before this and I have memories and XYZ. And she just said, you know, she told everybody else, oh, she went crazy from the enchantment and she died. But in actuality, Renslayer probably just went on and wiped her out. Because when you see the footage, you see she's like, all right, go ahead, delete her. And like, she didn't want that getting out. And as soon as Mobius.
Wow.
He didn't get a wow out of this series before he went out, but he did get a how out of there. But yeah, like soon as he started cracking, it's like, yeah, you know where I like to go in the timeline? Where I'm actually from, and get a jet ski. And like he started trying to reminisce on his past life. She's like, all right, delete him. Like, she has no heart. Like, she clearly has been with the TVA for a long time, because that's what it takes. Like, when you're dealing with space and time, if you've seen the beginning all the way to the end, if you've dealt with it and lost people, eventually you just get cold. And so I think she's been there from like day one, and she knows a lot more than she's letting on. And then in the comic books, we know Renslayer was a love interest of Kang the Conqueror. So there's a lot of notes in there. It looks like she's kind of running Kang's plan behind the scenes, and he might be the man behind the curtain. And they set it up like Loki said in the first episode, as a matter of fact. He said, I see the circus is in effect and all the clowns are playing their parts. And he was dead on with it. He like hit it on the nail from day one. So definitely looking forward to seeing what happens with the Lokis. And spoiler alert for the end credit scene, stay to see it, because we saw some other versions of Loki, as well as it looks like a Thor version, because he had a hammer. But he was there with the Loki, so definitely looking to hear some more of that in the next episode, see what's going on with them. But you have like a classic comic-style Loki. We had a kid Loki, a crocodile Loki, and it looks like we had a black Thor, or African-American Thor. But he was there with them and working with them, so he's definitely some variant of a Loki story got him there somehow. He was a variant somehow. And then... apparently, when you get wiped with those things that look like they just erase you, it looks like they're teleporting you somewhere. So, yeah, very interesting stuff. And
definitely looking forward about this Loki series.
I got a quick draw for you. Quick draw! Alright, so let's say Batman has been on the spaceship traveling to Omni-Man's planet.
Okay.
Over a course of 500 years.
Batman survive? Okay, he's Batman. Go ahead.
He's Batman. Chronostasis, all that jazz in space. He's had 500 years to prep to fight Omni-Man.
Now, I see where I'm going, but that's not a question.
500 years of prep? You can't give it to Omni-Man?
No. 500 years of prep for Batman?
Yeah.
500 years. Like, alright, so when you see Batman go against Superman, there's usually like maybe a year of prep. Yeah. And he destroys him. Like, yeah. You saw the animated movie.
So you're saying Superman is stronger than Omni-Man. Because Batman kind of gave Superman a little bit of work in every single time. He's like, alright, I'm going to fight Superman.
Well, like I said, I get deep into the lore. So I've watched these so-called scientists YouTube videos where they go over the science behind Batman versus Superman, and they work out how to defeat Superman without using kryptonite. Like, how much force would your punch need to hit? And the going consensus is that bat suit that he has, that like he steps inside of almost like an Iron Man suit, that bat suit hits hard enough to hurt Superman without kryptonite. So he and he has 500 years to prep. Yeah. He's destroying the whole planet. Like, get out of here. Like, they are his subordinates after that. Like, it's over. Like, what are
Batman, you doing? Batman becomes the dark side of that planet. All right. What you got for me? You got anything for me?
All right. Quick draw. Count.
Say it again.
So I want to see, like, what do you think will happen with Dr. Fate and Zatanna versus Dr. Strange and the Scarlet Witch?
Oh no. Alright. Exactly. Alright, here's what's gonna happen. They have a giant clash. Everything explodes. Everything dies. The end.
They're stuck in like a white space.
A white space. Yeah. It's some Futurama. It's some Futurama stuff after the end of that fight. They're just stuck in this white universe and they're waiting for the next Big Bang.
Like, looking at Dr. Fate and Dr. Strange, I can see a stalemate.
Yeah.
And then Scarlet Witch and Zatanna. I don't know.
But I feel like Scarlet would, you know, get that. I mean, Scarlet, we've learned she's just like Iron Man when it comes to adaptability during the middle of a fight. We saw that in WandaVision.
But so is Zatanna.
That's
like her real power set. Is like she's very adaptable.
But Wanda's willing to sacrifice.
She gonna sacrifice their life.
Wanda's willing to like lose an arm and a leg just to get the upper hand in a fight.
Yeah. I could see that. But then after she loses that arm and leg, you gotta remember that it's 2-on-2. So, like, if she makes herself that vulnerable,
yeah, Dr. Fate will capitalize. But, you know, I mean, Dr. Strange is gonna definitely, you know, you know, oh, you thought she lost her arm and a leg, but she did not. Ha ha! I'm giving it to Strange and Wanda. Okay. I don't know a lot about Dr. Fate and who did you say? It doesn't matter who you say. It doesn't matter.
So like Dr. Fate, pretty much just a little bit of backstory, like he's not one particular individual. He's a relic, is what they call it. So he's a helmet. And when anybody puts their helmet on, they become Dr. Fate and take on his persona.
Okay.
So he kind of lives forever through that helmet. Zatanna.
So you're saying he's a symbiote.
A magical symbiote. Magical symbiote. Not exactly Venom, but because when he takes
So Walmart Spider-Man. That's what you're saying.
No, like all right. So when he takes over, like when you put a helmet on, you're no longer yourself. His personality, his thoughts, everything, he takes over. And you're kind of in a sunken place. So, like, what that means is you're facing off with someone who's thousands of years of experience. Okay. So, like, and very strong magic, has lived through crazy battles. So, Dr. Fate is to be reckoned with, but not to underscore Dr. Strange at the same time, or the Scarlet Witch. Zatanna is a little bit new to magic, but she's very naturally powerful. Like when we talk
kind of like Wanda.
Yeah. Like when we talk about Justice League Dark, in that movie, she does a lot of crazy, super powerful stuff that, like, they say, like, they don't think she's ready for it yet. This is, like, her first time, all that kind of stuff. So, like, as she develops, she's going to become someone that's, like, crazy powerful. But, yeah, right now, looking at it, I don't see it going either way. Whoever slips on a rock is going to lose. Like, it's, like, that close. Like.
All right, calm down, Flash.
Oh shit! No!
Damn! No! We didn't wanna. We broke one of our rules.
Which rule?
Don't talk about
Flash. Needs to be in every episode.
No. We don't talk about Flash. We don't talk about Rick and Morty. What was the other one? We don't talk about GT. Yeah. We try not to, at least.
Well, we have not talked about GT very much, but Rick and Morty and Flash, they catch us.
You know, speaking of supervillains. Kid Boo. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry, guys. During our last break, the Roscoe had to run out and take care of a few things, so we're just going to call him really quickly and finish up our quick draw. Roscoe, quick draw. Yes. Who's the best Marvel duo of the three? We got LaWanda and Vision. We got White Wolf and the Black Captain America. Uh-huh. We got Loki and Sylvie.
Well, firstly, you're saying all their names way incorrectly, but
all right, correct it for me.
All right, so Wanda and Vision.
LaWanda and Vision.
Look, Twitter needs to stop. But anyway, I mean, the only reason that came about was because that whole turtleneck and chain he was wearing. But anyway, then Bucky and Sam. Now, when you say the best, do you mean like a powerhouse or?
Well, just who's your favorite?
Definitely Bucky and Sam.
Bucky and Sam.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, they're just normal dudes, ish. Yeah.
I get it. Down to earth. Something you can relate to.
And, like, meanwhile, Vision and Wanda can just do amazing things, and so can Loki and Sylvie. So, but yeah, they're just two dudes just trying to get through the day. And also, like, you know, they had a sense of righteousness when it came to Captain America and all that jazz. So, yeah, I'm giving it to Bucky and Sam.
Yeah, you give it to Bucky and Sam, but the bank still didn't give them a loan, though. So the banks disagree. I think I go with Wanda and Vision, like, because I just like the fact that they're a powerhouse. They went into a situation where they didn't know anything, and they still kind of won. You know, they figured it out once. So I give it to them. But yeah, definitely Bucky and Falcon. They got to be a fan favorite. They got to be, like, the coolest with those action sequences, and then just, like, really down-to-earth storyline. Yeah.
Yeah, the cinematography in that alone was great.
Yeah.
Loki just reminded me of, like, Marvel Doctor Who. In the best way possible.
It kind of was. I've been saying, like, the timekeepers, and I'd be wanting to say the Time Lords.
Mm-hmm.
Expecting the Daleks to show up at any second now.
Yeah. Instead of the quantum realm, it's actually.
But Roscoe.
Yeah.
Is bigger on the inside, just like his Time Lordship. It's the quantum realm. Is that is the Time Lord technology from the quantum realm? Doctor Who?
I mean, I doubt it because, you know, they're two different universes, but
well, we've already established they have a whole multiverse to work from. He might be in there somewhere.
I mean, maybe. I mean, David Tennant is the Purple Man in Jessica Jones.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Huh. Kilgrave. And apparently, Doctor Strange wasn't always going to be Doctor Strange. He's going to be Doctor Who at one point in time. And Marvel snatched him up instead.
So. Oh, Benedict. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, Benedict Cumberbatch does do a lot of, you know, British TV and everything. So, yeah, that would have been a good pick. I mean, who knows? He still might do it.
Oh, and Nebula is in Doctor Who. Amelia Pond.
Nebula has been in Doctor Who. You're right.
Yeah. See? It's all starting to click. I don't know how this is working.
And then Benedict Cumberbatch was Sherlock one time, and so was Tony Stark.
Exactly. So then that means that Sherlock is part of it too.
They're alternate versions. You know who else played Sherlock recently? Superman.
Oh yeah, Henry Cavill.
And yeah, the Superman and Henry Cavill are the same person.
Yeah, it's Henry Cavill's the actor.
Oh man.
Alright, we kind of went on a rant there of a quick draw. But my comment relief for the day is Angela M. Stout. The Instagram, you'll find it at official Angela M. Stout art. No spaces, no underscores. And as we look through it, she does paintings, sculpture, and printmaking. This is some fantastic work. I definitely suggest you go and look it over. It's more of a fine art, so it's not like the comic art like we normally highlight, but it's definitely beautiful artwork put together. A lot of portraits, a lot of sculptures of actual individuals, and then a few that show some more abstract or some more meaningful emotional pieces as well. Definitely something to look out. Again, that's at official Angela M. Stout art. Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Leave Your Powers at the Door. I'm your host with my co-host, Chris.
Remember to pick your powers up on the way out. Peace.
Cue the band. Cake.